This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned into a new Money Control podcast series, FutureWise, where we discuss the latest and upcoming trends in education and careers. I am your host, Saraswati, and today we have with us a very special guest, Vineet Gupta, the Managing Director of Jamboree Education and also the founder of Ashoka University. Now, the board exam results have just been out, and there is a usual rush of students trying to figure out what to do next in their career. Vineet's company, Jamboree Education, runs a slew of test preparation courses for GMAT, GRE, TOEFL, among several others. Let's hear his views on how students can navigate this path. Hi Vineet, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So first of all, what would be the first advice to students who've just passed their board examinations?
Well, for students who've just passed their 12th boards and they are looking for a college to study in, I would tell them that there are two, three options. One, of course, if you've scored very well, then some of the top colleges are available to you which have a great reputation. Whether you study in India or abroad, and if you are going to reputed colleges, then you're really not going wrong. But then if your marks are probably not that high and you are looking for some more options which are not as reputed or as well ranked, then I think it's important to sort of peel the onion and see the next level. I mean, look at the college a little carefully, look at their faculty, go into the pedagogy that the institute follows, look at the career opportunities. I mean, there are just lots of opportunities available today, whether within India or abroad. So unless you are going to a top ranked and reputed college whose reputation is very established, it's important to dig in, get more information, speak to the students of those colleges that, you know, where you want to go. Speak to some of the teachers, try as much as possible if you can visit. See a lot of information over the web. And then take an informed decision. I would be a strong proponent of speaking to students from those colleges. Because I think students who've been through the experience, they are, you know, they are the best judge of what that experience is. So do research, dig in, and make the right choice. That's what I would say.
But you know, would it also make sense for students to take up, say, specialist course right after their board examination, say something like a specialist in management or, you know, degrees like those?
Well, I am more a believer that specialist courses should be done at the master's level. And the undergraduate education should be more broad, right? So, you know, study a variety of things in your undergraduate education. You know, today people end up working for 40, 45 years of their lives, right? Right from 25 to 70. And one should not be in any hurry to get to the job, right? In fact, these years of learning, the 4, 5, 6 years of learning never come back. And I'm a strong proponent that, you know, learn as much as you can, take as much education, do your bachelor's, but also do your master's. And then, you know, you pretty much go into any profession that you want and keep your undergraduate degree a little bit more broader. Learn a multitude of subjects. Try to pick courses which are more interdisciplinary. And specializations can always happen at the master's level. If you specialize at the undergraduate level, most master's degrees are narrow, right? They're in particular disciplines. So you've lost out the opportunity to get a broad-based education. So do breadth, more breadth at the undergraduate level and sort of narrow it more and do specialized courses more at the master's level. This is what my advice would be.
But you know, when it comes to the whole specialized courses bit as well, there's always been this doubt in students' minds as to if it's a competitive exam, say something like a GMAT for instance, should I be going for coaching or should I be preparing for it on my own?
Well, you could do both. I feel coaching really helps, especially in test prep. You know, whether you're preparing for the GMAT, GRE, SAT, or, you know, whether you're preparing for IIT, JEE or any other test, these are very specialized tests. And each of these tests has a particular pattern. And each of these tests have certain question types that come on the test more frequently. So if you can get to understand the patterns of those questions, if you can get to get deeper and understand what sorts of questions come, then your preparation becomes much sharper. And we should understand that test prep is very different from normal education. You know, the normal education you are doing for the sake of learning. But test prep is very outcome based. You are writing a test for a purpose. Either to get into a college or to enhance your profile or to get better results. So it's very, very outcome focused. So it's sharper. You also have limited time. Education is lifelong, but test prep is 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, depending on which test you're preparing. So within that short time, if you have to prepare well, sharpen it, then I think coaching always helps. Because but you have to choose the right coaching partner, right? There's just tons of people there in the market now. Choose the right coaching partner, somebody who's really specialized in that field. You know, I mean, Jamboree, for example, we do GMAT, GRE, SAT. And for a long time, we have kept away from doing other exams because we believe that we are specialists in these exams. We understand these exams extremely well. So, you know, we wouldn't foray into other exams just because we can do some exams better, right? I think it takes years of experience to sort of understand the psyche of the exam, the content, the questions, and then make your study material, train your teachers. So if you can get a good coaching partner and if your preparation can be very sharp, then coaching absolutely helps.
Okay. Now, when it comes to coaching, would you say go only for a classroom training or could be a online training or a mix of both?
Well, I think that's a great question. Again, going back, because test prep is so outcome driven and your time is so limited. You could do either. I have seen classroom students being far more focused and far more disciplined because it gives you a schedule. Online is great for people who are very self-motivated and really don't need a nudge to study. They can manage their own schedule. They can open their laptops and get to study whenever they want. So I think online needs far more sort of self-discipline, self-motivation. Classroom gets you into a more a schedule. You also come in physical contact with your teachers, and you know, the motivation power of a teacher doesn't go away. Till about 7-8 years ago, there was no online, right? There was only classroom. I do feel even today in test prep, classroom sort of continues to dominate. And the outcomes from classroom are far better and far higher. But simultaneously, you see online is gaining share. Especially because some people can't travel to coaching centers. They live far away. Their timing doesn't allow. So for them, if they want to study from the convenience of their homes, online is a great option. But you know, but at some point, if you think the online is not working for you, then I would strongly suggest don't hesitate and come to the classroom. Because the ability of a teacher to motivate you, to solve your doubts, to have that sort of one-on-one relationship is powerful. And the power of studying in a group, when you're in a classroom with peers and you know people are asking questions, although some of that is getting replicated in online too, but I think that sort of social network of studying has its own influence and has its own power to motivate.
Okay. Interesting. Now, you know, coming to student aspirations as well, now see, a lot of students are more willing to go abroad and probably because a lot more scholarships and a lot more education loans are also readily available. But would you say draw a line and have a word of caution for students?
Well, I think the number of students going abroad is only increasing. And some of it has to do with the capacity of higher education in India. We are still 1 in 4 students going to college, but we have a very young population. And our capacity, while it's been growing rapidly, I think we, you know, it still doesn't sort of satisfy the numbers we have. So students will continue to go abroad also because students are aspirational. India, in terms of quality of higher education institutions, has not done that well. We don't have too many universities which are top ranked. So students who are extremely bright, very aspirational, you know, the world is their oyster. And they aspire to study in the best institutions globally. And that has been happening for generations. You know, some of our greatest freedom fighters went to study abroad. And it happens now. I mean, some of our brightest students are going abroad and that will continue to happen. But I think the change has been that lots of students can now afford to study abroad, right? And there is no doubt in my mind that in some of the Western countries, the quality of higher education is much better. I mean, there's absolutely no question. If you see those institutions, the quality of their faculty, the quality of research infrastructure, the quality of the campuses, the diversity and the learning that comes from that diversity, I think the education quality is significantly higher. So if students can afford to pay, or if they can, if they have a way to get a loan and they see visibility, they can pay those loans back, then education abroad is a great option. I mean, it really opens up your horizon, right? It makes you a true global citizen. You can work abroad, you can come back and work in India, you can work anywhere. You get the confidence. In fact, I met somebody yesterday who made a great statement. He said, and he had gone and studied abroad and to a top school and did his MBA. And he said, look, the first thing I realized after I did my MBA is I got this confidence that I can do anything in the world. Right. Now imagine that sort of confidence. If you feel that, look, I am now equipped to take on any challenge and I can do anything in the world, imagine what all opens up for you. So education abroad is very exciting. I think it is a tremendous opportunity. I am a strong proponent of people, whether in their undergrad or in their masters. If you ever get the opportunity, one should go and study abroad. And even if not for longer, maybe 6 months, 1 year, if you can do a summer. At Ashoka, for example, we've been strong proponents of all our students going for summer abroad. And large number of students go for summer abroad. Because I think it just gives you that exposure, you know, the confidence, the opportunity to study in a different setup. And these are huge learnings, you know, and these learnings stay with you for your life. Pick your country carefully. Yeah. That's what my advice is. Yeah. I continue to be a strong fan of the US, Canada, Singapore. UK, Australia have been great destinations too. A lot of the Western Europe is now opening up. I don't know if you know, but about a few months ago, the French ambassador to India announced that they are now looking to get 10,000 students from India. Right? So I think for the young generation today, honestly, I envy them. It's a very exciting time. I mean, you know, you could pretty much go from continent to continent and really enrich your life and enrich your education. Experience.
But then, of course, you know, you have visa restrictions as well. Not all the countries you go to, you may be able to secure a job for the future.
Yeah, that's true. I think there is the whole learning element to education abroad. But I also feel that learning gets fully complete if you can also work abroad. Maybe for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I think the countries, if you see the overall trend, the trend is more towards opening up than closing down. Canada is extremely flexible. Last year, I believe they granted permanent residency to over 30,000 Indians. Right? It's a huge number. US, if you see, they have the optional practical training, the OPT, where students can work in US for 1 year after they finish their study. That has been there for the last 3-4 decades. But 4-5 years ago, for people who are graduating in STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, the OPT period has been increased to 3 years because the US just wants more STEM talent, right? So even for STEM earlier, it used to be only 1 year. Mm. So I think there is a gradual tendency to sort of break these barriers. Singapore has been a great country where people go and study and work. Australia has been a great destination. New Zealand has been great. Some of the Middle East countries are opening up. I see a gradual desire for Western European countries to open up. They have not been as open earlier. So I think the world is sort of realizing the value that outside talent brings to their countries. This trend will only open up. I mean, I should tell you that the Indian government has made a statement that we want more foreign students to come and study in India. So I think the world is, we are heading gradually in a direction where the world is opening up. So that doesn't worry me.
Okay.
You may have some instances where somebody didn't get a job. But if you look at 80% students who went abroad or 70%, by and large, people have had very positive experiences. You will find the 1 in 10 or 2 in 10, you know, who had a challenge. But by and large, you know, people have had great experiences. US has attracted a lot of Indian students in the past. You look at the Indian diaspora in the US, they occupy some of the top positions. Some of the top academia in the US is Indian. Technology companies in the US are in leadership positions are occupied by Indians. So it's been very welcoming and it's been very, very good to India. So I think that sort of relationship continues. I am quite positive about it.
Thank you, Vineet. Just one last question I wanted to understand. Most of the board exam results are now out. What is your view on how important those scores are? Something like a 90% plus seems to be the new norm. So what about someone who, say, scored a 70% or, say, 75%? Is there...
You bring up a very, very important question, Saraswati, and something that has deeply been sort of something that I feel passionately about. And I should also tell you that this was one reason what inspired some of us to start Ashoka.
Okay.
And a similar sort of group is now come together to start Plaksha, which is reimagining engineering education. And I think some of this thought has been really been inspired by what will it take for us to create high quality universities for everybody. Not only for the 90 plus people, but every Indian student should have the opportunity to be able to study in an institution which offers a high quality education. So the honest truth and the honest answer to your question is today that situation is not as good. If you don't end up above 90%, your options, at least in India, then you start to look at a variety of institutions and you have to pick very carefully, right? There is a lot of private higher education capacity in India today. A lot of people have opened universities and colleges, but one has to really scan those carefully. Some are absolutely great and wonderful, but there are also plenty which are not as great and don't do as good a job. So one has to be careful, and I would say that for some of our people who are scoring mediocre percentages, the country still doesn't offer a high quality education, and that, as all of us as Indians should worry about, right? I feel 20 years later it may be a different story.
Okay.
I think the government is putting more money into higher education. Good high quality private institutions are coming up. I think some institutions which were not offering great quality education are shutting down. In 20 years, you will see this whole space would have altered dramatically.
Okay.
And at least I hope and I envision that every Indian student should be able to get a high quality education in India. I think we have the intellectual capital and the resources to make it happen. Okay. And I do see a gradual trend happening in that direction.
Okay.
But today the options are tough. Students should select carefully. I would also encourage some of them to look abroad. There are great options. Countries like US, Canada, UK have great capacity. So irrespective of whatever you've scored, there is access to high quality education. Some of them offer scholarships. Some of them are economical. So if you can pick your universities carefully, there is a good college for everybody, right? So do some research, pick your universities carefully, and I'm sure you can get into a good college.
Thank you for your insights, Vineet. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would have a lot of doubts cleared and hope that it helps take the right decision for the future. Over the next few weeks, we'll have multiple such podcasts catering to relevant topics in the education and career space. That's all for now. For more such podcasts, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for listening in.